Welcome to the Thrive Podcast. I'm your host, Kathleen Drennan. If you're a floral designer on a mission to build a profitable and thriving business, then you're in exactly the right place. I'm on a mission to bust through the secrecy of our industry, make it easier for you to know exactly what to focus on to help you build your business, and teach you my favorite mindset hacks so that you can learn to show up with more confidence and authority as you grow your business. I am so grateful to be able to share my journey with you, pass along my best shortcuts, and get you on the path to feeling more confident and making money doing what you love. No matter where in the world you're tuning in from, remember, you've got this. Do you have cleaning products that you just love the smell of? I've just cleaned the kitchen floor, which is something that brings me so much joy, because a clean kitchen to me, like clean countertops, actual washed sink, clean floor, those things to me are like the perfect way to set up a new week. And only this year have I discovered the joy of the Swiffer wet mop. I couldn't even tell you if that's the name, but you buy it at Costco, but the smell of that cleaning solution just brings me so much joy. Like you could just open the container, open the lid, and I'm like motivated to clean, want to clean the floor. And now I feel like I'm like my hands just smell like it and I'm kind of in love, which is super weird. And I know I've had to like find all new cleaning products coming back to Canada, and I had found the ones that I loved in Australia, and then you just make the decision to move around the world and you have to hit reset. So alas, I am just celebrating the fact that I love the smell of the Swiffer wet mop, whatever they're called. I don't even know. I should probably go find and then, I don't know, whatever they're called. They're just the ones from Costco that you can buy in bulk. Smells so good. I wanted to today, because now that I have a clean kitchen floor, talk you through three habits that I am bringing into my flower business this month. And these habits aren't just about running a flower business. For me, I have been diving deep and like geeking out, super geeking out on the science and the brain chemistry behind creating habits. And for the longest time, and I think this is possibly a side effect of my corporate marketing, advertising, MBA background. But one of the things that I have noticed, I had this mindset of in order to create massively epic, big results in my business, that required massive effort and output. So I've been really questioning that thought process, questioning that mindset. And I started that investigation by going back and rereading for what is probably the 12th time, Atomic Habits. So that is one of three of the books that I have on both audio and the printed format, because I am such a huge fan of it. And I swear, go out and find yourself a used copy of Atomic Habits, or go find a new version, whatever floats your boat. But you could literally open up any page at any point in time, any moment of any day, you'll be like, oh yeah, that's a great reminder. Close the book and then get on with the rest of your day adopting this new mindset. Like the way that he breaks it down, and he is so good at teaching us just the power of creating habits and why we don't have to create these like massively big changes in our world, in our life, or in our business to create incredible results. And I really think of this like the whole story, and you've probably heard a version of this, but when an airplane takes off from Los Angeles, if you change its trajectory 1%, instead of ending up at JFK, it could end up at Washington, D.C., or it could end up at Toronto Pearson, or it could even end up at Heathrow. It's so interesting how we completely underestimate the impact of small tweaks made consistently that could create incredible impact. And for me, I so wish that I had learned more about the power of habits way back at the beginning of my creative entrepreneurship journey, because it's so impactful to think about any problem in your business could potentially be solved by adopting a better habit. If you know, for example, you're constantly overbuying at the wholesalers, or you're constantly overbuying at the seed shop, or you're constantly overbuying at the grower, what's one small tweak that you can put in place this week and then continue to revisit, review, and refine that habit every single time you go out to make a purchase? So instead of feeling like we have to make these massive changes in our business, I love this idea of just thinking about these small tweaks and changes and adjustments that we could make consistently. So for me, I've always felt like September has been such an incredible opportunity to hit reset, such an incredible opportunity to almost think of it like the new year. And this is just, I think, you know, kind of the biochemistry habit of it typically starts to feel a little bit more like fall or autumn. And particularly now that I'm back in Canada, that feels particularly true. And it's back to school season, and everybody's talking about sweater weather and wearing boots and just this openness to change. And when you go to school in the Northern Hemisphere, you know, you kind of are attuned to, your body gets attuned to September being an opportunity to hit refresh, new school supplies, new whatever it is that you want to do. So I love really leaning into that, and that just feels so right for me in this current season. So as we move into September, which is kind of crazy, because the other thing I will say is as we come to the back quarter of 2023, my focus in my flower business is really about 2024. Instead of being so desperate and so hungry for overnight success, and I want this to sort out right now, and I need to make sure we're maximizing online orders and that we're maximizing inquiries and that I have my 2024 schedule locked away, I'm really trying to, and I say that with the best of intentions, but trying to slow down and ease into setting myself up for success in 2024. And I'm really leaning into the power of habits to make that happen. So I thought it might be super helpful to talk you through the three habits that I'm bringing into my flower business this month. Feel free to take any one of these that you like. If you don't like any of these, go out there and make your own habits. If you haven't read Atomic Habits, or it's been a hot minute since you've read Atomic Habits, definitely recommend that you listen to the audiobook and or buy the actual physical book, or if you're an e-reader type, go for it. So here is the thing. And just to bring everybody along in this journey, if you haven't read Atomic Habits, the kind of introduction and the way that James Clear talks about and really sells us on the power of habits goes a little bit something like this. Your identity emerges out of your habits. You are not born with preset beliefs. Every belief, including those about yourself, is learned and conditioned through experience. More precisely, your habits are how you embody your identity. When you make your bed each day, you embody the identity of an organized person. When you write each day, you embody the identity of a creative person. When you train each day, you embody the identity of an athletic person. And if I skip ahead a little bit, He continues to talk about, of course, your habits are not the only actions that influence your identity, but by virtue of their frequency, they are usually the most important ones. Each experience in life modifies your self-image, but it's unlikely you would consider yourself a soccer player because you kicked a ball once, or an artist because you scribbled a picture. As you repeat the action, however, the evidence accumulates and your self-image begins to change. The effect of one-off experiences tends to fade away, while the effect of habits gets reinforced with time, which means your habits contribute most of the evidence that shapes your identity. In this way, the process of building habits is actually the process of becoming yourself. And as I read that, I absolutely know that for me, now that I have organized my Google Drive, I absolutely buy into the identity of being an organized person. And I continue to practice the habit of being an organized person. So, when you're thinking about the kind of business that you want to run, the kind of flower boss you want to be, it's really helpful to think about the kinds of habits that that person embodies. And I love his example of being a writer, or even better than that is the example of being a soccer player. If we were in a totally different situation and we were all on a mission to become professional soccer players, one of the things that we know we need to do is go out and play soccer. Whether that's practicing, whether that's being on a team, we'd also be doing drills, we'd be doing some fitness exercises, we'd be paying attention to our health, our sleep patterns. So many of those same things actually apply to being a professional florist. In an upcoming episode, I'm going to talk you through some of the aha moments I've had in watching the women play tennis at the US Open. It's been astounding. It's been astounding to watch my brain watch these women play tennis and realize, well, wait a minute, like we're all the same. Anyway, I will not distract us with that at this moment in time. But this idea of really thinking about what are the habits that the florist who you admire, the people who run the businesses that you wish that you had, the creative entrepreneurs who you look up to, what are the habits that they've adopted and that they've practiced that have now shaped their identity? So that's really where this thinking is coming from, and the thought process around the three habits that I'm bringing into my flower business this month. And the thing that has really helped bring this into focus for me is shifting my mindset, shifting my perspective away from having to do these epically big undertakings to create revolutionarily different results in my business. And it was all triggered because I was having a conversation with my coach, and she asked me this question: what if the path to incredible growth and monumental success was paved with small, delightful actions? And we were having a conversation about things I wanted to change in my business and making some small, sweet tweaks and changes. And when she stopped and asked me this question, I was like, oh, Kathleen, maybe this isn't about making big revolutionary shifts to create completely different results in my business. What if the path to incredible growth and monumental success was paved with small, delightful actions? And it's so fascinating. The more I understand psychology and the more I understand the human brain, the more I realize, oh, wow, like that absolutely 100% could be true. I've seen it happen in my own business in the past, and I've seen it happen in so many other people's businesses that I'm here for it. So I really want to encourage you, if you are a person who thinks I need to create and take revolutionary massive action in order to create my dream business, what about jumping on the bandwagon with me? And my theme for this month is embracing small habits to create bigger outcomes. So I am not going to go down the path of like creating massive changes. Instead, I'm really going to embrace small habits and stick to them on a daily and a weekly basis to create bigger outcomes. And it's kind of like the little routines that we do every day that will unlock the next milestone in your business. And being able to do this in community is so powerful. So I've talked through my thought process inside the Flower Boss Academy. I've passed along my new aesthetic very visually appealing 30-day habit planner, because my friends, having a visual tracking device to be able to see your habits in action for me has been so incredibly helpful. And I have found it really useful to hone in on my daily habits to make my bigger goals and outcomes way more doable. It's kind of like having the secret sauce and being able to lean into your habits to create routine and consistency is so powerful, particularly on the days when you don't feel like you've got the same drive, the same determination, and the same motivation. So let's dig into the three habits. And the first one for me, and I was telling a friend of mine about this, and she was like, whoa, that is so courageous. So if you're out walking, listening to this podcast right now, or in your car, listening to this podcast, and you're anything like me, and you love learning, but you also know that you often will use learning as a way of buffering. You might use learning as a way of, I say this in quotes, like feeling productive, feeling useful, instead of really thinking about how you could take somebody's lesson, somebody's piece of content, and actually apply it to your business, because that's uncomfortable. So the first habit I'm adopting is once a week when I take the dog for a walk, I am not going to listen to a podcast and I am not going to listen to music. So I was telling my friend Jessie about this, and she just, like, her eyes like bulged open because she was like, what? So she and I have been friends since, like, I want to say like grade one, grade two, known each other forever. We are both very well practiced at being overachievers, hugely successful, hugely productive. And now we're both in our 40s and we laugh at how much we attach our self-worth to our productivity. So I was telling her the other day, I was like, okay, so this is what I'm doing. Once a week, when I take the dog for a walk, I am not listening to music and I'm not listening to a podcast. She just was like, that makes my stomach want to drop. And I was like, perfect. So that's my first thing that I'm going to do. What I am going to do on those walks is, one, just be with the dog, be with nature, really think and listen to the internal dialogue that's going into my head and feel my feelings, embrace the anxiety. But I will probably get myself to the point where I am self-coaching in those walks and really pointing my brain into much more positive, proactive, can-do thinking as a way to build the habit of positive, proactive, can-do thinking. You can see how this is all coming full circle. So I will challenge you, if you're a person who is addicted to listening to podcasts, if you're addicted to buying online courses, if you love reading nonfiction books and you just can't stop kind of putting information into your own brain, I first kind of weaned myself off the podcast addiction by listening to music. And one of my favorite things to do on Spotify is to just type in like high vibe yoga music and kind of groove out. You'll feel like an influencer walking around. That's what it feels like. It's kind of cool. But you go for a walk, not listening to a podcast. And then when you feel courageous enough, you can just not listen to the music. And one of the things that I have noticed, and it has, if I'm being completely honest, like it's taken me years to get to this point of recognizing that the thoughts in my head aren't me. I do feel like my brain is so well practiced at the I'm not good enough and the insufficiency story and I'm never going to get there and always pointing out the problems and really dwelling on the negative, that I actually think this is a great opportunity for me to begin to practice and really double down on the can-do positivity self-talk. So that is habit number one, is walking without a podcast, walking without listening to music once a week. The second habit that I'm getting back into in my business, and this is something that I have just simply fallen out of the habit of, but it's been really helpful for me in the past, so I'm just immediately diving into it again. And that is getting back into the habit of tracking the data. So you will have heard a podcast in the past where I talked about the concept of data versus drama. And my brain is very well practiced at kind of putting in giant lights. I imagine it being like Times Square, right? Where it's a giant neon billboard that said, it's not working. So one of the best ways to combat that is to actually show your brain the data in your business. And we talked about this a couple of weeks ago, right? About our desire, the dopamine that we want to be an overnight success. But everybody's flower business is built very intentionally, very methodically. It is an industry where overnight success does not exist. Quite literally. If you are into a get-rich-quick scheme, it is not in floristry. That is not to say you can't make a lot of money being a florist, but it doesn't happen quickly. So if you find yourself in that period of hurry up, I wish it was happening faster, nothing's working in my business, and you can just see your brain going to the place of it's not working, follow that up with a little subhead or a big subhead, depending on who you are, that says, and I suck. That's what my billboard says. So every Friday, I'm sitting down, I'm going to make myself a lovely cup of tea or an iced coffee, and I am going to turn on the groovy music, and I'm going to just update my spreadsheet. So my spreadsheet isn't anything complicated. It is nothing fancy. There are no pivot tables. I don't even have any comparison ratios. But what I do have and what I have thought through and what I will continue to refine are the key metrics that I want to track in my business in terms of the progress that we're making. So I do like to do this on a weekly basis simply because it helps me look at the bigger picture in our business. So the first line item on that tracking sheet is revenue. So total sales generated in the last 7 days. The next piece of data on that spreadsheet are total number of transactions, average transaction value, total number of wedding inquiries, number of wedding inquiries confirmed, closed, i.e. deposits paid. Then we jump into some of the marketing data. So how many users have visited our website, the average time that they have spent on our website. I also am breaking it down so that I can see how many people have visited the link in bio page on our website, how many users we've acquired from Google Ads, and then how many users we've acquired organically. And then I also just have a little section for notes. So I will say, and I will explicitly tell you, I am not tracking Instagram followers, TikTok followers, likes, reach, engagement, none of it. I am very much focused on the metrics that I know are going to drive the business forward. Because if you've been listening for more than 10 minutes, well, maybe an hour, because you probably have to go back a couple episodes. But you already know that more followers doesn't equal more inquiries. More followers doesn't equal a bigger flower business, because that's not how our customers buy flowers. So I'm not including that on our business scorecard. And I am going to sit down once a week and update this data. So no doubt your business is different than mine. Your revenue priorities are going to be different to mine. So don't hesitate to, you know, take the data metrics on here that are useful for you, ignore the rest, but really think about some of the things that you know really are going to move the needle in your business. And what are the points of data that you could actually track to help you show yourself that you are indeed making progress? One of the things I have learned about myself when it comes to creating habits that I'll actually stick to is that they need to be fun. Anytime it feels like torture, anytime it feels like a chore, Kathleen's going to stop doing it. So the thing for me is if I can turn it into a game, and or if I can listen to music or do it in a very like yoga spa vibe, then I am much more likely to do it. The other thing as well is reward yourself. Reward yourself for sticking to the habit. So that then leads me to habit number 3. And immediately after I update our business scorecard, I am very intentionally going to actually write down 3 things that I am proud of. So one of the things that we're all very good at and is a very normal human brain reaction to looking at your data or to looking at your business or to looking at your life is that your brain has an inbuilt negativity bias. So it's always by default going to be pointing to the things that are not working. Totally normal. But one of the amazing things about being a human being is that you can redirect your thinking. So building the habit of focusing on what is working. And I've learned this from one of the coaches on my team, Patricia, where she's such a huge advocate of A, really celebrating the progress that you are making, no matter how small you might think it is, but then actually using your progress as your fuel to help you continue to make more progress. It's so counterintuitive because we would normally think, and very, most of us think, the harder I am on myself, the more I beat myself up, the more I will be disciplined enough and willpowered enough to do the thing. Except, so far, I will tell you, that doesn't work. I am a professional. Beat yourself up, talk yourself down to yourself. And it wasn't until I really started to dig into coaching with Patricia that she was just like, no, seriously, let me just like pause you for a hot second and really dig into this with you and really start to redirect your thinking, redirect your point of reference so that you can actually continue to make progress. And with positive reinforcements, you can build more positive momentum. So when I sit down every week with my cup of tea and capture my data, I am then going to very specifically make 3 notes and celebrate the progress that I am making. Because I know that no matter what, you are making progress in your business. I know you're not at your revenue goal yet, or maybe you're close to your revenue goal, so you decided to change your revenue goal to a bigger goal. That's what we do. However, it's okay because you are making progress. And the goal is that we are building flower businesses that are fulfilling us, which means as much as making money is fun, and it is really fun, we also get to build a business that's in alignment with our values and the life that we want to live. So even if you're not at the financial goal that you want to have, what are the other things that you are making progress on in your business? Are you learning how to say no with more clarity and more confidence to your clients, to your staff, to your team, to your freelancers? Are you learning how to find 1% more balance between your work and your life? Are you learning how to prioritize getting good sleep, drinking your water, eating your vegetables? You get to celebrate your progress. And I will tell you, taking the time every week to celebrate your progress is so powerful. So those are the 3 habits that I am bringing into my business in September of 2023. The first one is once a week, I'm going for a walk without a podcast and without listening to music. The second one is I'm sitting down every week to track the data. And immediately after I track the data, I'm going to sit down and I'm going to focus on the 3 things that I am making progress on, which will be an amazing way to wrap up the week. So my friends, please take any of these habits that you like, adopt them in your business this month. If you don't like these 3 habits, pick something else that you know would be super helpful in terms of you being able to really move the needle in your business. The goal for this month is to really focus on small habits to create bigger outcomes. We don't have to do the big overhaul on the website. We don't have to do a complete renovation on the shop. We don't have to completely burn our business down and start over. What are the small habits you want to incorporate into your week and into your month that are going to help you create bigger outcomes? And my friends, please drive safely. Have the most amazing week. Go out there and make some money. And as always, please be safe on the road. Drink your water, eat your vegetables, get some sleep. And I will talk to you again next week. Bye for now.